Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. The Bible says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Haven, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. They returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. Make not at all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even in Shibirim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening time. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us unto the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would God we had been content and dwelled on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before the enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall inquire us about. Round, cut off your name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel have sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, have stolen and dissembled also. They have put it even among their own stuff. In the book of Joshua, Joshua takes over as leadership for Moses. You know, Moses gets the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he dies off the scene, and God puts another leader in place by the name of Joshua. And Joshua is going to take the children of Israel through Canaan's land. Now, we sing the song in Canaan's land, I'm on my way, and that's a beautiful song, and I love to sing it. But Canaan's land is in the Christian life is you're going to go from one battle to the next, brother. In this Christian life, they had Jericho here, and now they're going to Ai, and they're going to end up through the book of Joshua going from one battle to the next. And as a Christian, you're going to go from one battle to the next battle. In Canaan, listen, in heaven someday, there are going to be no more battles. There are going to be no more crying. There are going to be no more sorrow. There are going to be no more separation. There are going to be no more pain. About why we're here on this earth. We're going to go from one battle to the next. One place to the next. And listen, God said, He said, look here. Joshua got down and he began to pray. Why is that? Because he had sent 3,000 men. Now I can't find anywhere in there where Joshua went to God in prayer. But just like we are a lot like Joshua, and they just made a great battle in Jericho. They just overcome a great enemy there. And no doubt they felt they was on top of the world. That's the way we are. When the bills are paid, when our health is good, we don't need God. And we go on our own. And somewhere, like Ai, they should have went down there very easily and beat those people. They weren't in a big place, and they weren't very bad, but they should have easily went down and took Ai. But they did not. They turned their back on the enemy. 36 men died. You say, well, that ain't that many. Well, how would you like to tell 36 wives that their husbands died? How'd you like to go tell 36 little children, daddy ain't coming home because we didn't go to God in prayer and seek God in this? It was a big deal if one died because they was outside of the will of God. Are you listening? I'm getting to my message right now. And Joshua goes down, Brother Garrett, and he hears this, and he gets on his knees, and he begins to blame God, and he begins to cry out to God. Hey, 90% of my problems in my life, I'm the one. I'm the one that's got to take a responsibility for. It ain't God's fault. It's my fault because I went the wrong way or took a wrong direction. But he began to cry out, and he began to pray towards God. And God says right here, and the Lord said to Joshua, get up. What are you doing? Lying on your face. Here's my message for this morning. Here's what God put on my heart to preach to you this morning. When praying is a waste of your time. When it's a waste of time to try to pray. Well, wait a minute, Brother Kevin. That don't sound just right. I thought we ought to always to pray. That's right. I thought we ought to take things to God. That's right. I'm going to show you in the Bible when it's a waste of time for you to get on your knees and try to pray. Are you listening to me? Hey, Joshua. He said, Joshua, get up. Get up, Joshua. You got something that you need to take care of. What are you saying? It's a waste of time trying to pray to a holy God in heaven when you got sin hid in the tent of your life. When you got sin that's under your tent like old aching head. Hey, God ain't going to move. God ain't going to do nothing. God ain't going to honor your prayer. David said in Psalm 66 and 18, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. Are you listening to me this morning? He said, the Lord will not. Look up in here. You get distracted too much. I'm looking at things. Look up at me when I'm preaching to you. Some of you about to go to hell wide open. Look up to me. You've got none to this preaching. We all ain't hearing your prayer because you've got a sin, a hid down in your life. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Go down there and pray for your kid in the hospital when you've been slipping around on the job with another man or another woman or looking at filth on the internet or talking like hadn't you ought to talk or living ungodly as hell itself. Don't go get on your knees and pray to a holy God when you've got sin under your tent that you're holding on to until you take care of that sin. God will not hear your prayer.
Right.
Are you listening?
Yep.
You're wasting your time.
Amen.
Praying.
Yep.
You're wasting your time. Joshua's praying. He said, oh Lord. He said, get up, Joshua.
Yeah.
Get up, Joshua.
Amen.
Get up, Joshua. You know what God's telling some of you this morning? That you might have sin in your life. He said, look here. I love you. I want to give you the victory. But until you get up and get that sin took care of, had an altar of prayer and repent of that sin, you can pray until you're blue in the face. And God says, I'm not going to hear your prayer. I'm not going to honor that prayer because you've got sin down in your life. You say, Brother Kevin, hey, listen, we've all got problems. We've all got sin. I'm talking about a secret sin. I'm talking about you're hanging on to something and you're playing around and you've got it disassembled. That means concealed in your tent and you think you've got people food. I'm telling you, you ain't got nobody food. You ain't got God food. And God's calling you out and said, unless you get that sin I took care of. You are wasting your time praying to me. Are you listening? You can put praying hands on your text. You can put praying hands on your Facebook. You can put a nice Bible quote. That's all good. That's all fine. But if you've got sin, oh, bless God, down in your life and hid in your tent, unless you drag that mess out and confess it before God. For Proverbs said that if we'll confess our sin and forsake it, we'll get the mercy of Almighty God. But the problem is, people don't want to confess it, and they sure don't want to forsake it. They want to hang on to it, and then think they can hang on to a holy God. I'm telling you, you better get that sin drug out from under your tent, and listen to the preacher this morning, and take care of that mess down in your heart. Take care of that mess down in your home, or you're wasting your time praying.
Yeah,
are you listening?
Amen.
You better take care of that sin that you got hid. Now, you think it was easy for Joshua? God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go call every tribe. Then I want you to call every household within that tribe. Then I want you to call every man of that household within that tribe. Do you think that was easy for Joshua to do? Do you think it's easy for a man of God to get up and preach on sin, knowing that, listen, knowing that you don't want to hear it? Do you think it's easy? We could have a lot bigger crowd and a bigger facility if I just preach on something else. If I just do some other way, and we just compromise your little flesh, but I'll die before I'll do that. I'm not doing that because it's your sin that separates you from a holy God. Here's what he said. Says in Isaiah, he said, God said, I'm my ear is not too heavy, and I can't hear. Neither is my arm too short, and I can't say. He said, but your sin has separated you from a holy God. I'm telling you, a sin has got to be confessed and forsaken if you want the blessings of God.
Amen.
So, go ahead and hang on to your sin and pray. I'm telling you from the Bible, honey, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
You're just wasting your time.
Great Bible.
Sir, I'm telling you, just wasting your time.
Yeah.
Just wasting your time praying.
Yeah.
You've got hidden sin. You're hanging on to it. Go ahead and pray. Might as well just hold that breath because you're going to need it. When you get ready to die, you're going to need all the breath that you have.
Amen.
Because you are wasting your time. You know what else is another time that you're wasting your time to pray? Found right here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. He says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, it's the God speaking. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. He said, I'm dealing with you with my spirit. I'm making my words known to you. What more do you want? He said, because I have called, ye refused. I stretched out my hand, no man regarded. He said, here I am. I took my spirit, Garrett, and I made it known to you that I'm dealing with you in your heart. I made the words clear to you. Not only did I do that, but I stretched out my hand to you.
Yeah.
Listen to what he says. But ye said it at naught. All my counsel. Word not there means neglected.
Yeah.
That means he dealt with you in the spirit. He dealt with you with the word. Not only that, he stood here, Nikki, and he stuck a hand out, and he said, I'm giving my hand out to you. He said, but you set naught and would none of my reproof. Listen to what God said in verse 28 about all that. He said, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer.
Amen.
They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. He said, they're going to cry, but I'm not going to answer them. He said, they're going to seek me early. Brother Jamie, they ain't going to be able to find me. They ain't going to be able to. Listen, you're wasting your time praying. If you've got sin tucked away in your little old tent that you don't want to get a whole weight of, you're wasting your time praying to God. If after he's dealt with you, and dealt with you in such love and dealt with you in such mercy and extended a hand out to you and sent you in churches where you could feel, a lost person can feel, the Spirit of God. That's how you get saved. The Spirit of God convicts you of that sin. How do you know you need to sin? How do you know you need to be saved? Unless you know that you've sinned. Unless the conviction sits up down in your heart. That's how you know. God said, I've done that. I made it known to you by the Word of God. I made it known to you by the Spirit of God. But you neglected that. And you went your way. I'm telling you right now. You're wasting your time praying. If you turn away from the reproof of God. If you turn away from the conviction of God. You'll not get saved by the grace of God. Unless God Almighty convicts you and gives you permission to be saved by His marvelous grace. He said in John 6:44, He says, no man come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him. You'll not get saved unless you get under old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction and God drawing you to Himself. What's that conviction? Well, He creates a desire in you that you've got a need that needs to be fulfilled. And you can't fulfill it nowhere else.
Okay.
Now, if you're not convicted of your sin and God's not dealing with you, He says in Genesis chapter 6, He makes it very clear, Gert Mullins. He says, if my spirit will not always strive with me. Hey, are you listening to me? You could be laying up the hospital bed. You can have 4011 preachers round about your bedside. They can have a King James Bible open to you and read the Word to you. We can get down and pray for you. We can even anoint you with oil and pray over you. But hear me and hear me well. Unless God Almighty is dealing with you from another land down in your soul that the brother was talking about. Unless God's down there dealing with you down in that soul, I'm telling you, you're wasting your time trying to pray to God. No need to repeat a prayer to repeat you, a preacher. No need to sign a card. No need to go dipped in water. If God Almighty ain't dealing with you in your heart, in conviction, you're wasting your time trying to pray. I don't care what anybody says. You'll only pray and He'll hear that prayer when He's good and ready and deal with your heart. He says, if you turn at my reproof, He's a long-suffering God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. And He'll deal with you. But I'm telling you, you ever get to a day in your life, friend, where you turn Him away, He'll cut your prayer off. And you're as good as talking to that wall as talking to God. You're wasting your time praying. Wasting your time. You say, I've never heard a message like this. There's a lot you ain't heard. You come around here, you're going to hear. That's the problem. They ain't never heard nothing. Huh? Now, I'm telling you so much truth this morning, you can't take enough benzos to numb it out. Are you listening to me? You can't take enough Xanaxes to numb out what I'm talking about. That's truth. Are you listening to me this morning? Are you listening to me? Listen, you got sin down there you need to get took care of. You're wasting your time praying. Oh, listen to me. Don't turn and turn and turn at God reproving you. That's a good thing. God convicting you. Don't turn away from that. Anywhere else I found time where God Himself said, just go ahead, don't worry about it. Just don't even pray. You don't pray. It's funny. It's a funny place in the Scripture. It's in Mark chapter 14. I got to thinking about this last night. Jesus, Brother Bubby, is at one of the most stressful times that a person could ever meet. Nobody's ever experienced the stress and pressure that Jesus felt in Mark chapter 14. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, which means the olive press, because at the Garden of Gethsemane, listen, He's going to be in prayer and communion by Himself with the Holy God. And it's there, brother, that He leaves the disciples and He says, I need some boys to go with me. And He looks over and He says, I can depend on Peter. I can depend on James. I can depend on John. Them three I can depend on. I want to be one, friend, that when God looks out, he said, I can depend on O'Garrett to stand right. I can depend on Nathan to stand right. I can depend on him to stand right. I can depend on her to stand right. I want to be one of them that God says, I got to go a little further. But I know I can depend on these old boys or girls to stand and do what's right. But he said, I'm going to take Peter, James, and John, and we're going to go out here and we're going to pray. He goes out there and the Bible says, hey, listen, he's sore vexed. He's got all the pressure on him. You don't even know. Listen. And he tells Peter and he tells James and John. He says, listen here, boys, watch right here and pray. I got to go a little farther. You see, because sometimes it ain't everybody else. It needs to be just you and God alone. And he goes out there and the Bible says he prays. Oh, he prays to God. He said, if it be thy will, that you'll let this cup pass from me. Now listen to me. I said it last week and I'm going to say it now. Jesus Christ was not afraid to die. No, friend. But that cup that he was going to drink had sin in it. It had wrath of God in it. It had suffering in it for you and for me. And he's out there praying, Garrett. And he comes back and he finds him asleep. He says, can you watch for an hour and pray? He said, I've got to go back. He said, now listen. He said, the flesh, the spirit indeed is willing. He said, but the flesh is weak. He said, I've got to go back and pray. So he goes back again, Brother Dean, and he goes back and he prays. And the Bible says that Jesus prayed, and the Bible says that his sweat became as great drops of blood. That's the pressure that he was under. You think you've ever been under pressure? Hey, God was under pressure. And he comes back, and he finds Peter. That's what the Bible says. He finds Peter. He says, Peter, could you not watch and pray about an hour? I see Peter getting up. Maybe said, okay, God, I'm on to now. And Jesus said, no, it's enough. I go back to sleep. It's enough. How many times did God come to Peter? Three times. How many times did Peter deny the Lord? Three times. What are you saying? I'm saying God is trying to get you to pray now, to try to help you with some temptation or some trial down in your life. But you say, I got this. I got this. It's fine. I'm telling you, you don't want to get to the place when you're in the middle of it. Then it's too late. Are you listening?
Yeah. Solid, buddy.
Maybe if Peter would have prayed on this side, done what God asked him, when the little girl said, are you one of them? He wouldn't have denied him three times.
That's right.
Huh? Sometimes you get over here and you get in a mess in your life because you ain't took care of it over here.
Yeah, that's right.
You ain't took care of it here.
That's right.
Huh? I've done that. Am I telling the truth this morning?
Yeah.
Hey, listen. You ain't been to church in 6 months. You don't support the work of God, no way. You don't come down and help the preacher. Hey, but something goes wrong. You get a spiritual broke ankle in your life. And you want to come down. What about all this other time where God was here like this? What about all this other time when God was here? Saying, where you at? Where you at? Where you at? We're so bad to do that. Hey, when the bills are paid, everything's fine. We just put it on autopilot. Me and Jesus got everything under control. But let all hell come to your life and things get out of place. Then you're like Peter. Maybe we ought to take more time on this side to take care of that issue. But once you're in the middle of it, brother, it's too late to pray. It's like a man that gets his arm cut off, Brother Tony was talking about, in a bar fight. He gets saved in the church house. You think his arm's going to grow back? No. No. Hey, some things out there, listen, this is preventive medicine for some of you before you get in a mess. Why do you think I preach on families? Why do you think I preach on husband and wife? Why do you think I preach on having your children in church and raising them right and teaching them what the Word of God says? Why do you think I do those things? Because, brother, it's too late when he's 18 year old. And we got to get him out of jail. We got to get him in here now. And sow seeds in his life. Right now. Before he's 25 years old. And strung out on dope. And everything else. We need to get him right now. Before all that mess comes in his life.
Amen.
Are you listening to me today?
Amen.
He said you better take care of it, but he come back. He obviously seen Peter wasn't too interested. And he wasn't too stressed out about it because he said, it's okay. Just lay down, Peter. Sleep on, Peter. You need your rest because it's getting ready to come your way. I wonder how many people in here today, and I can't see your heart. And God, and listen, God knows. How many people in here today, God has spiritually said, just go ahead and sit on back, buddy. You need all the rest you get because a big storm is getting ready to blow right in on you.
Yeah.
And you ain't took care of nothing on this end. And you're going to need me when you go through that. So you just better go ahead and hang on right now, baby. Because you ain't took care of this on the front end. Now the back end's coming. Are you listening to me? That's why it's important, friend, that every day you find a time to get along with God. If it's just in the car or in the shower or wherever it may be, it's real important that you get along with God and do some examination and do some self-examination of your heart and mind and get your priorities straight and get your prayer life straight before it comes home into your home and life.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Paul told them in Acts, he said, boys, I perceive this voyage is going to be in much danger. But it looked nice outside. It was a day like today, Nick.
Yeah,
the sun was shining. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. There was a small breeze, Brother Garrett, that blew.
Yeah.
And the master and the owner of the ship who have done ship sailing for a lot of times, he chose to listen to the men. He chose to listen to the crowd more than the man of God. Oh, but when they got out there on the ship, the Bible says, and the Bible don't name many storms. So when the Bible names a storm, it's a storm.
Yeah.
Your Rocklodon, come hit them in the middle out there. How many storms can you name in your life that come in? You know, cancer, that's a storm, buddy, that blows into your life. Divorce, that blows in to your life. Hey, your child is a wavered child. It's a storm that blows into your life. A financial storm that blows in to your life. Boy, I want to be. Those storms might blow in into your life. But I want to hang on to what the man of God says and do what God says rather than listening to the crowd. Better pray on this then, folks, because it's too late. Jesus said it's too late, Peter. Just go ahead and sleep. Too late. You know where the fourth time I found the Bible? It's just too late to pray. Don't pray. You're wasting your time right here. Find Luke chapter 16. Bible says there was a rich man, Brother Garrett, that fared sumptuously every day. There was a beggar that laid at his gate full of sores. I got to thinking about that beggar. He asked for a crumb every day. I got to thinking on this one time, Brother Jamie, and I might preach a message on this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crumb Christians that are helping people go to hell.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
That's good.
You just go from crumb to crumb. And the world sees that and says, well, I do just as good as you.
Yeah.
I do just as better than you. I'm not talking about financially. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. You're a spiritual crumb eater. You just crumb from crumb to crumb.
Amen.
You never get a hold of the loaf. You never get a hold of the meat.
Yeah.
You never get even a hold of the milk. You just lay there for a crumb. And the lost man sees that and says, hey, I'm just as good off as that old guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's what the rich man said, brother, looking at Lazarus. He just getting at a crumb. You know what else I found about that old Lazarus that laid there? He had a lot of sores all the time, didn't he?
Yeah.
They never healed, Brother Bubby. He had sores on him all the time.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the dogs came and they licked the sores on him. They never healed up. Hey, are you one of these people, you're going to be like Lazarus about later, you just eat on crumbs, and your wounds never heal up, and because your wounds don't never heal up, some old lost person's watching you, and saying, well, they can't get through that, they can't get over that, I'm doing pretty good. I'm telling you, listen, it's important how you live this Christian life. You want the whole of God. God will take care of your wounds. You ain't going to lay there. Let the world's dogs lick your wounds. Don't do that. It might cause somebody to go to hell. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
But you know the story, the rich man dies and is buried. They have a nice funeral for him too. They sing some nice songs about him. And the preacher gets up and says some nice words about him. And one of them even gets up and says, I believe this in God in. I got a good feeling about this. And I had a dream last night. And this, I never heard nobody say I had a dream last night. He's in hell. I've never heard him say that. Are you listening to me today? Are you listening to me? It don't make no difference what a man says, but I no doubt they said that over him. And they probably had flowers, and he was rich, so a lot of dignitaries in the state and nation come down, and they all say pictures of him up. What a good old guy he was. We're going to name a building after him. We're going to put something unblocked rock down here on him. But the whole time they're doing that, he's in hell. He's already opened his eyes, and he'll trade all that in for just a one drop of water on his tongue. He's still there, by the way, right now as I'm preaching. He's still in hell. All the Bible says that while he's in hell, he gets humbled down there, and he says, I think I need to pray. Father Abraham, I pray thee, will you send somebody go warn my five brothers of this awful place? Hey, he said, now look here, friend. They're not going to hear Abraham. And they're not going to hear the prophets. Neither will they hear though one rose from the dead. I'm telling you, one rose from the dead. And they won't hear about it today. If that don't move you today, then if an angel himself was to come to you, it ain't going to help you. If you don't get moved by this, you'll not get moved though one rose from the dead. And he prayed. But it's a waste of time. He even had his brothers on his mind. I don't want my brothers to come here. I wonder how many daddies is burning in hell right now in just pure torture. And they're thinking, I hope somebody gets to my son. I hope somebody gets to my daughter. I don't want them to come to this place. And you know how torturous it is in hell when they're falling in hell, and they don't know if their son or daughter died or not, Brother Robert Newsom, and they're in hell, and they hear a scream over there, and they're in so much torture, maybe they hear that scream, and they say, that sounds a whole lot like about her. I hope that ain't her. Then they hear a scream over here. Well, that sounds a whole lot like him. I hope that ain't him. Can you imagine the mental tortures and the mental agony of being in hell and hearing the screams and not knowing if your son or daughter made it there? And it's too late to pray. Death done came. Too late. God ain't hearing your prayer whatsoever. It's a waste of time. And as a matter of fact, there's no need for us to pray for you either. We pray for your family. We'll pray God have mercy on them. We'll pray God be long-suffering to them. But as far as you're concerned, they ain't no need in praying for you. Hey, I die someday. Ain't no need in praying for me. I die. My lot is fixed in this life. Listen, it's over with. And it's too late to pray. Listen, it's too late to pray when you die and hell is your home. It's too late to pray. Listen to me. It's too late to pray when you turn away from the reproof of God. It's too late to pray, or you're wasting your time praying if you won't take care of sin down in your life. Are you listening to me? You're wasting your time. Let's all stand this morning. Brother Adam, come here, son. Sing that song. Sing that song that you sung last week. God's put that on my heart right now. Won't you come and sing that song? You come right now and sing that.